Hey, kids, are you excited about Christmas? Let me see your hands. Who's excited? Yeah, I know. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. You know, when we enter the Christmas season, there always seems to be two Christmases that are competing. There's the Christmas that tells the story of the birth of the Savior of the world that comes in the form of a child that we celebrate at Christmas, Christ Mass. And we get ready in the church calendar to get ready for the coming of Jesus. And then there's the version that Costco wants to sell to us. Any holiday that we can imagine, they've got a way to sell it to us. And it's hardly the beginning of September before we see that they're beginning to sell us parts for Christmas. You ever feel that way? We barely get through Labor Day, and suddenly the trees come out, the decorations come out. And if you're like me, you know you love the fall. I love the fall colors. I can't say I love the fall weather because we don't really have any. You know, we just go from 100 degrees right into Christmas. But there's that feeling you want to have, and yet all of a sudden, Christmas is upon us, and it makes us want to anticipate it. You know, when we think about Christmas, we might have different feelings about the timing of Christmas. I notice that kids always say, when is it going to get here? It's not coming fast enough. My daughter's already asking us, Daddy, when in our tradition do we open the presents? Like exactly what time and on what day so she can wait for it. I'm sure families, you have the same feeling. And yet when you talk to adults, they have the opposite view. Adults always say, gosh, I can't believe it's here already. I need more time. I'm not ready. If I could have another week. Maybe the difference in our timing and our anticipation is based on whether we're receiving a gift or having to prepare one. So we think about the rhythms of getting ready, whether it's spending time decorating or spending time reading scripture over Advent candles, or maybe just the process of getting ready and counting the days. Maybe you're somebody who likes to give gifts. Maybe your excitement is not in receiving the gift, but in knowing that you've picked out the perfect gift for someone. You know, somebody like this, maybe you're like this, where you're so excited to give the gift that you can't wait because you want someone to receive that very special thing that you picked out. It's perfect for them. And you're just giggling the whole time you're wrapping it because you can't wait to see their face when they get it. And so for you, there's a long anticipation of waiting until somebody receives this gift to see the light in their eyes. If you're one of those people, then you're in good company because that's exactly how God our Father is with his gift of Jesus Christ. You know, we often think about the gift of Jesus Christ coming as a baby in a manger on Christmas, and that's our perspective, and it makes sense. Because that's when Jesus enters our human history, and that's our perspective. But God has been preparing this gift for a long time. In fact, you could say that God has been preparing this gift excitedly, waiting because he knows that Jesus Christ is the perfect gift for every single person, all of humanity. Now, I don't believe that God is confined by time. I believe he created it. I believe he's outside of it. But for a moment, just go with me for a moment, that God has been planning Christmas from the creation of the world. He's been anticipating giving every one of us this gift. And just for this moment in this service this morning, I want you to go back with me and think about it from a different perspective. Let's think about Christmas, not just from our perspective, but from God's perspective. Go back with me a little bit. Zoom out of the picture from the manger to maybe Bethlehem. Zoom out a little bit further to the way that God sees the earth. Zoom out a little bit further with me from the way that God first created the earth. Okay. There we go. To the time that he first created the galaxies. To the time when he laid out the heavens and the stars, to the very moment of creation. Go back with me even further. to when there was nothing. And that is when the Christmas story begins. You see, in two of our Gospels, in two of the stories of the life of Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, they begin with what we traditionally do at Christmas. They begin with the birth narrative in Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary, and the baby Jesus. And they begin with all the stories surrounding that part of Christmas. But one of the Gospel writers, he begins a little bit earlier. In the Gospel of John, he begins at the very beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And when he capitalizes that word, Word, he means Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Do you envision Jesus as the creator of the universe? It says in Colossians that all things hold together in Jesus, and there he is, God the Father with God the Son and God the Spirit, before anything is made, deciding that this was going to happen. He goes on to say that the Word became flesh. God entered into his creation and took on flesh and made his dwelling among us. John is an eyewitness to this. He says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What does it mean that God took on flesh and entered into his creation? It means, ultimately, that Jesus is the greatest gift of all. You know, a lot of times we talk about Jesus, but we mean something else. We might think, well, maybe salvation is the greatest gift. Maybe freedom from sin is the greatest gift. Maybe some hope is the greatest gift. But the truth of the scripture is that Jesus is the greatest gift. He himself, God, entering into his creation. What does that mean for us? What does it do for us? You see, when God comes into the flesh, he comes into his creation so that we can experience him. And this is what John was writing about. It absolutely blew his mind that God would come in the flesh and that he could interact with him. Later, when he wrote a letter to one of the churches, he begins the letter in the same way by talking about the beginning. He says, he who was from the beginning, the one that came from the beginning, which we heard, which we saw with our own eyes, which we looked at and our hands touched, this is the word of life. You see, God came into his creation so that we might know him, not from a distance, but in person, that we could hear his words, that we could live among him, learn from him, and his teachings would be preserved for us. God did not stand far away. The plan was always to come at Christmas. He also came in the flesh so that we might learn from him and he might empathize with us. It says in the scripture that we don't have a God or a high priest that is unable to empathize with us, but one who is tempted in every way. He lived our lives. He walked in our shoes. He learned. And that's God coming in the flesh. He also came to show us how generous God is in his gift giving, to teach us that it isn't just the gift of Jesus, but everything Jesus taught pointed to a generous God. You remember the stories that Jesus would tell us in the parables? When he would tell us about the generosity of the God who had entered into his creation. Maybe you'll remember these parables. One of my favorite writers, Andrew Wilson, summarizes Jesus' stories like this. Listen to how often God is portrayed as a generous gift giver. These are the parables. He says, once there was a farmer who scattered seed so liberally that it couldn't take root. Once there was a king who forgave the debt of millions and millions of dollars. Once there was a vineyard owner who gave people far more than they were ever worth working for. Once there was a farmer, a father, who gave away half his estate to a rebellious son and then threw him a party when he came back broke. And he goes on and on and on. A generous God who comes, even in the miracles that he performed. You remember when he fed 5,000 hungry people with just a few loaves and fishes? Andrew points out that even in that miracle, there were leftover food for everyone. He went to a wedding where there was no wine. And he ended up producing 150 gallons of wine after everybody had already drunk the first wine. We have a God who enters his creation and is a gift himself of generosity. We see the same thing described in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." God wants to give you every spiritual blessing through Jesus, the gift of his Son. How is he going to do that? We don't have to guess, because he tells us right away. Because he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. The first thing he wants for every one of us is to gift us the ability to be holy and blameless. And this is not something he just thought about. It was from the creation of the world, the idea was, I will create and they will fall. And I will be there to enter into that history and redeem them and restore them. That has always been the plan. Christmas is not an afterthought. God has planned Christmas from before he planned the creation. The second thing he wants to give us is to predestine us to adoption, to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He wants children, sons and daughters who he's going to adopt through Jesus. And he wants to lavish us with his grace, to give us his glorious grace, which he has freely given in the one he loves. The gift of Jesus Christ has always been. Think about that for a moment. In your mind, a lot of times, and in my mind, we think, well, God created the world and we screwed it up, so he had to figure out a way to save it. But the truth is, Jesus is not plan B. He has always been the way. And this has profound implications if you just think about it for a moment. That God knew. He knew every aspect. He knew that he would create. He knew that we would rebel against him. He knew that a sacrifice was needed. And he still said, it's totally worth it to do this. It's totally worth it to go forward with the creation. It's totally worth it because I want to adopt every one of you as spiritual sons and daughters who have an inheritance in front of you, who have a kingdom that you're going to reign in with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you the power, starting now and ever increasingly, to become holy and blameless. This has been the plan. Jesus has always been the way. God has been anticipating Christmas long before we could. One of Jesus' other disciples, Peter, said the same thing when he wrote that we are saved by the precious blood of Christ, who was a lamb without blemish or defect. He said the same thing. Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world and revealed in these times for your sake. Once again, he's not plan B. Jesus is the long-expected Savior. You know, a lot of people look at when Jesus came into history. Peter writes that at the right moment he came into history. There have been some scholars that actually look at when Jesus came. One scholar, William Lane Craig, says that there are 105 billion people that have ever lived on the planet. And when Jesus came, he came at a moment when only 2% of them had been born. Jesus came at the right moment, where most of humanity was going to have the chance to hear his message. He came at a moment when the Roman Empire had developed enough technology and learning and the ability to spread the news of Jesus' coming to the ends of the earth. But it was not just then. From the very first pages of our scriptures, from Genesis 3 and forward, God has been foretelling us that I am sending the gift of my Son, Jesus Christ, and he will come into the world. The prophets foretold it. It's throughout the Old Testament. He called himself a nation of Israel to say, from you, you will bless the world. He had been working from immediately after the creation to bring about the plan that he had put into place from before the creation. And when the time came, Jesus did exactly what he had planned to do. Here's what it says in the book of Philippians. Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus did not just sit back and say, I'm God. I don't need to do this. In fact, he voluntarily set aside every aspect of being God. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Imagine with me for a moment. Jesus knows this is the plan before he even creates. And in the fullness of time, Jesus comes as a child. Philip Yancey is an author who says, I want you to think about Christmas from God's perspective in the moment of the birth of Jesus. Jesus, who the whole universe holds in him, and he holds all things together, who creates all things, now opens his eyes and sees blurry vision. Can't hold up his head. Doesn't know how to walk. Doesn't have control of his muscles. Has to learn to speak, to read, to communicate. He's learning to be disciplined by earthly parents, to be tempted and yet not to sin, to feel pain, to learn a trade, to make friends, to be hurt and let down, to teach, to fast, to spend time experiencing life in every way that we do, to gather around disciples, to begin the long walk towards Jerusalem, to feel the betrayal of a close friend, to wonder if his disciples would ever really get it, to walk the road to the cross, to feel the weight of all the sin placed on him, to feel the Father turn away, to experience death, and then the glory of the resurrection. You see, Jesus says, all this I did voluntarily, but imagine for a moment to give up everything that you've had from all eternity to enter into our reality and history. That is what Jesus did for us at Christmas, and that is what God the Father and God the Son have willed from the beginning was the plan. They were sitting around before the creation of the world planning Christmas. And I think that brings us to the last point I want to make this morning, that Jesus has loved you from before the creation of the world. And when you hear this truth, there's really only one response to it, and that is to receive it. Just as someone who has found the perfect gift for you and knows you so well and has found exactly what you want, when they hand it over to you in that moment, when you open it and you realize this is exactly the right thing, that really is the reaction, to receive it and to thank the one that gave it to you. This morning, I don't know if you've received the gift of Jesus Christ. And if you have not, then God has set this appointment for you this morning to hear that from before creation, he was waiting to give us the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. If you're somebody who has not received that gift, then I pray that the Spirit of God would quicken your heart to recognize that it's yours, it's been given to you, that you would just linger for a moment after this morning's service so that we might point you in the right direction of how you might receive that gift, that you would not let a moment like this pass, because God has for eternity prepared it for you. But for those of us who've received the gift of Jesus Christ, we are often tempted to look at ourselves and say, I don't deserve this, or I need to be better at this, or I need to somehow shape my life in a certain way. I need to do something to deserve the love of Jesus Christ. But when you recognize that he has been preparing this from before the creation of the world, then it reminds us that before we could do anything at all, before we even existed, he had known of our need for Jesus. He had loved us enough to proceed forward and create with Jesus as the plan, not a contingency, not an afterthought. Jesus loved us before we were created. Jesus loves us now, no matter what it is that we have done. And his desire is that we receive that gift and then say, Lord, teach me to follow in your ways. Show me the rest of the plan that you have. How you will give me the power to live holy and blameless. How in your power and in your spirit I will become your son or your daughter, God, Father. And how for the rest of time I will enjoy the grace, the undeserved favor, the undeserved love that you've lavished on me. There are moments, I think we have to earn that or merit it somehow, where we might not feel valuable. But the truth is that God valued us enough to create a world that he knew would require the sacrifice of his son, and he willingly and lovingly and excitedly gave us that gift. We're just to receive it. I pray this morning that as you look at all the things that Christmas brings, that you remember that from the time before time began, God has willed this for you. May you receive it this Christmas season as a gift from our Lord. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, in your presence, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given it to us. We had no say, no part, only to receive it. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit work among us this morning, that every heart in this room would renew their commitment to know that they have received from you lavishly the greatest future ever designed. Meet us in this moment, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. I want to invite Dennis back up so he can lead us in the lighting of the fourth candle of our Advent wreath this morning.